So now, the fourth thing we need to consider out of Psalms 8, or the 8th Psalm here. Began to mention it at the closing of the previous section here, Psalms 8, 2, because of thine enemy. Why is God mindful and visiting, or why is God mindful of man and visiting him with Christ, with salvation, right? It's because of his enemies that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Plainly written there in 8:2. So now, considering the design of God and the way this was all supposed to work, and the estate that God had created for man and put man in dominion and given him the right of keeper or manager or steward over this part of creation. Considering this, both in our first estate, our original estate, and now our second fallen estate. Well, now, what has God done in regards to, because of his enemies, instilling the enemy in the avenger? Well, the first indication here is in 8:2 also. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength. Now, that may not make sense to you at first here, but I think our translation is a little faulty here in the Hebrew, because Jesus explains his understanding of this same exact Psalms 8:2 quote in Matthew 21:16, and he gives it a better, clearer understanding. Jesus said unto him, the disciples said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast, now get this, perfected praise. So he started by quoting our understanding in English, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. That's a correct understanding in the Hebrew there. But he clarifies what it means to, thou hast ordained strength, giving it a better understanding of thou hast perfected praise. Remember this now, perfected praise. That's what it means to have ordained strength. That's a better understanding of ordaining strength. We need to consider how he's done this, first of all. How he's gone about doing this out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Think about the words of Jesus, talking about blessed are the lowly, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry. Those who hunger and thirst and seek after righteousness, blessed are they, right? He also states, you know, presenting a child before them and saying, you have to have eyes like a child. You have to be childlike, in other words. Lowly, meek, hungry, another way of putting it, another picture, another metaphor, another analogy he gives us is to being childlike. And another analogy that the later apostles help us along with in this childlike understanding is the fool. Okay? Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That helps explain what he means by, you know, intending to still the enemy and the avenger. He's attempting to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Mighty in human terms, by human perspective, by what we see as power and authority and structure and dominion, right? Those things which are mighty, to confound the things we're presently holding to as having authority or dominion or principality. He says in 28, and the base things he's chosen, the base things and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Again, to this idea of stilling that are hushing the enemy and the avenger. That no flesh should glory in his presence. So that gives us an indication of how he's done it. Now let's look at this, why God has done this the way he has. Now, the way he's going about this is to, that thou mightest still, or thou mightest quiet, or thou might silence the enemy in the avenger. There's an illustration, an interesting illustration I can give you of how God has done this. In Matthew 21, verses 13 through 16, Jesus, after just disturbing the money changers there at the temple, just turning over the tables and shouting out, "Den of thieves!" and "My house," he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Okay, so right after that, Jesus goes inside the temple now. This was out in the court in front of the temple where the money changers were allowed to sell their pigeons and their sacrifices, animals for personal sacrifice. Inside the temple now, the blind and the lame come to him. They're in the temple, and Jesus heals them there in the temple. When the chief priests and scribes saw this, we would call it wonderful. They would call it blasphemous thing that he did, this miraculous thing that he's done, this astonishing thing that he's done. And the chief priests and the scribes hear the children crying in the temple and saying, crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Well, the chief priests and the scribes that heard and witnessed these things, they were sore displeased. They weren't at all pleased by this. They were sore displeased. So Jesus then says, and this gets us back to the quote we started on. It says, "And he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Have you never heard out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Okay, so here's a direct quote of Jesus, and he's using that direct quote of Jesus, who was in directly quoting Psalms 8:2 here, right? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, those has perfected praise. He's showing us how God's going about this. He gives them the authority to go into the temple courts and turn the tables and shout out, "Den of thieves, you've made God's temple into a den of thieves," and then to go inside the temple there and to heal any and all those that were brought to him, to the flabbergasted, jaw-dropping dissension of the chief priests and the scribes. He was silencing the enemies and avengers. It just so happened that in this illustration, the enemy and the avengers that were being silenced, at least temporarily, were the chief priests and scribes. Enemy. We got to consider who the enemy and avenger is. It essentially comes down to those that are at enmity with Christ in any form or any fashion. If you're at enmity, if you're odds and you're in opposition to him, you're of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It says in Romans 8:7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be." So what I'm trying to explain here is that religion itself, even with the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees here, religion itself does not alter or mask this essential carnal state. Jesus says you have to be born again. What is flesh, what is spirit. You can't just remain flesh, even in a religious sense, and try to mask or bandage or try to eliminate the carnal flesh. The carnal flesh is not going to sacrifice itself. It's always going to be in charge. It's always going to do the will of self. It's always self-willed, even in a religious sense. We can see that perfectly illustrated in the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the people that, even religious people that were in opposition. Yes, there were others that were in opposition to him. There were the political factions. There were the Herodians. There were the Romans. I mean, there were plenty of other enemies and avengers against him. It almost seemed the world, mankind as a whole, was against him. Even his disciples, one of his disciples betrayed him and the others deserted him. So at that time, before the Holy Spirit can be imparted and dwelled in man, man was nothing but carnal, even the disciples. It's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, being born again, being now what is flesh, what is spirit. That's the importance here. Religion does not alter or mask the essential carnal state. Only the childlike mentality, only the childlike belief, having seen the evidences of Christ, like these children there calling out Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, essentially calling him Messiah. This is the Christ. We've seen with our eyes the healing in the temple. We've seen the changing, the turning of the tables outside the temple there. We've witnessed these things, and the child or the childlike mentality sees these evidences, and it's only these childlike recognizing who Christ is. It is only the childlike mentality that acknowledges this, that accepts this. And therefore, in this acknowledgement or recognizing or this repentance or turning around, this being born again, therein is the perfecting of praise. Okay? And it's this perfecting of praise that is going to silence the enemy and the avenger. The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, oh, they all had a praise. But remember, oftentimes it was called, you praise me, worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Right? Their heart was still of the flesh. It was a fleshly tablet. Out of the heart come the issues of life. They hadn't been born again. It was still a carnal heart. And they dress it up and they put lipstick on it and everything with the law and everything. And they make it seem to others that aren't as religious and aren't as devout and aren't as Jewish or Israeli as they are. Make it seem like they've got this all under control. But really, there's no difference between them and the Gentile or the godless when it comes right down to it. So let's summarize now this visitation of God. Understanding what we've understood, what we've talked about here, I think Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 14, helps lock this down. It says, "For such then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same." This is Messiah taking part of flesh and blood, "that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil." Just think of that a moment here. This is what this visitation means. This is what this condescending of the eternal Christ, the eternal Son of God, means now in its full glory. Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at 24 through 27, says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him.